This is Sunday Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello, welcome to Sunday Supplement. I'm Simon, and with me as always is Izzy.
Hello.
Hello, Izzy, how are you?
I'm all right. What I'm getting fed up with, though, is always the pressure on me to tell you how I am. How are you, Simon?
I was hoping you'd ask, actually. I'm really miserable because I saw a documentary yesterday on Alzheimer's, and it seems that I'm probably genetically predisposed to such a thing, and that's really quite depressing.
Is it? I mean, what have you got to forget other than the misery of your already existence?
That's true. Well, no, because I won't forget that, will I? That'll be the stuff I remember in my old age.
That is true.
I will have to relive all of the misery of my early to late 30s.
I just have to imagine what it's like to be you, and that puts me in a mood. So, you're just going to be stuck where you are now forever when you're an old man.
Well, Alan Alda in ER played a character with Alzheimer's, and he came to the conclusion that he could never quite time his suicide correctly, because too soon, then you're just going to be missing out on what's left of your life. And too late, you're just going to forget to do it.
I've actually got a whole article about Alzheimer's in my paper this week.
Oh, what paper have you chosen?
I have chosen The Mail on Sunday.
And why did you choose it?
Because deep down, I want to be a Nazi.
Okay.
It's one of the most horrible, right-wing, nasty papers.
I've chosen The Observer.
Isn't that what I picked last week, Simon?
Yeah, so technically I could just use all your arguments from last week and win this week.
Ah, yes, but I was only up against Independent last week. This week you're up against The Mail, and The Mail on Sunday is one of the granddaddies. She's excellent. She will fight long and hard, tooth and nail.
My Observer will just sit back and watch.
Your Observer will watch its own hair get pulled out.
Well, I got 9 supplements for £1.90.
Do you have supplements of the year in your Observer?
No. Not this week.
That's very odd, because last week in my Observer I had supplements of the year. And now, the next paper I buy, The Mail, has supplements of the year.
How can you have 2 supplements of the year?
I was thinking that maybe there's been a new year.
Okay,
and
what,
it's
in the
now
intervening
2009.
Week?
Yeah. And I remember distinctly last week it having supplements of the year.
Well, I think you're just lying.
I think our readers will learn and check.
Yeah, right.
I think they will. I don't know. I have faith in our readers that they are equally as spotty as I am, rather than the sort of lazy-assed, gonna-get-Alzheimer's Simon Dunns of the world.
Right, well, let's kick off then with what you're going to cut out and keep from The Mail on Sunday. And how is it better than what I'm going to cut out and keep from The Observer?
Simon, kick off.
Kick off, yeah. I'm going to make a cricketing reference if I want to.
Okay, you can make cricketing as long as you don't refer to the tragedy that is Euro 2008.
So what are you going to cut out and keep?
What are the flags manufacturers doing this year in terms of providing flags for cars? I mean, those are very specific flags. I mean, you only get them on cars, those little George Cross flags that you can fly away. I suppose you get them when the Queen comes round, you can fly the flag then. Or if you're on a midget BNP march. But
are you avoiding the subject because you haven't actually got a very good article to cut out and keep?
I've got a very good article to cut out and keep, Simon. Probably one of the best articles I've read.
What's it about?
What's it about? That doesn't concern you. That's a clue for all the scientists listening in, yeah? Concern. Yeah.
Okay, it's about the Large Hadron Collider then, is it?
It might be, yes. But it's written by Brian Cox, who is a lovely man. I have met him once, and he is absolutely brilliant scientist. Used to play keyboard for Dream. No, it's not Brian Cox the actor.
Okay,
he's a bit
I always thought that was the same. I was literally always thought Brian Cox was the actor who played Hannibal Lecter in Manhunt.
No, alas, okay. Not. That would be too cool a universe. No, this is about CERN, which is, it's been sealed now. They're not allowing any more visitors down there. And they're going to rev it up and start colliding particles together.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, it's a supercolliding supercollider. It's the biggest machine ever made. It's like got 18 miles long underground in Switzerland.
And massively underground as well. Yeah. It's this huge loop and then a smaller loop to accelerate them even faster. Basically, the whole thing is, are we going to find the God particle?
Yeah, that's it. They're trying to recreate the start of the universe, aren't they? And the God particle is the Higgs boson.
Yes. Okay. Oh, you know quite a lot, Simon.
Oh, yeah.
You're doing a very good job of, like, you know...
lying.
Yeah. The Higgs particle, like, we've got brilliant equations, right, to basically sum up all that is happening that is little. But in order to do these equations and make them accurate, and they are accurate, we can predict things perfectly, but we need to insert this thing in that we've got no evidence for. So they think it's going to be them. We're going to be able to see it by smashing together atoms. What this Higgs particle, which is the God particle, does is it gives certain atoms mass and other atoms no mass. Well, we're not atoms, particles mass and particles no mass. Right. But like you, Simon, you got a lot of mass, especially for such a small man.
Yeah.
So you've got quite a lot of Higgs around your bits.
I got a lot of Higgs around my boson.
Oh, yeah. So that means that, you know...
I'm better?
Yeah. Because when scientists were asking money for this, they had to ask, like, Thatcher's government, who didn't understand anything. Thatcher said, I'll put it in a way we understand. She said it exactly like that.
In that voice, okay.
Put it in a way we understand. And so he said, well, you've got to think of Higgs particles like a room full of your minions, like backbenchers, MPs.
Right.
And you've got to imagine a photon walking through. And a photon is just a guy who doesn't look very important, who nobody recognises, who isn't very important. And it passes straight through this field of Higgs particles. And none of them want to speak to him. And so he just goes straight through. Whereas any other sort of like thing, which is matter, things that matter have matter. Like if Margaret Thatcher walked through that room, everything would cling to her and ask her what was going on. And so basically, Higgs particles are like fangirls around Alan Rickman, trying to lick him.
Like you around Alan Rickman.
Like me around Alan. I'll be an excellent Higgs particle.
At least there is a science article in a Sunday supplement, which is a first for us over the course of the week we've been doing this. Another first for us is my cutout and keep from The Observer, which is a 7-page pro-asylum seekers article.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Pro-asylum seekers.
Yeah, pro. It's not saying asylum seekers are evil and should be deported.
Simon! This is basically The Guardian on Sunday is what you've got. It's not exactly going to be anti-asylum seekers, is it?
Well, that is true, but, you know, it's nice that it's a 7-page spread rather than a column hidden away amongst articles about gardening.
Reaching to the choir.
Things I knew and things I didn't know. For instance, the £35 vouchers that asylum seekers get every week.
They are
rubbish. They're only allowed to spend them on food and toiletries and nothing else. They have to be spent in one particular supermarket that's the allocated supermarket, and they're not allowed to give change to the vouchers.
And also, because they're so obvious, people beat asylum seekers up afterwards because it's kind of obvious when you're paying in not real money.
It's quite frightening, I think.
Well, you know, the thing is, we want to be like Anne Widdecombe. You know, may as well put them in camps. I think in this country, we put children in camps, which is just so wrong. It's ridiculous. And they aren't allowed to leave. So isn't that nice?
And it makes some interesting points to start. I mean, there isn't actually any such thing as a bogus asylum-seeking claim. That's like saying your application for a mortgage can be bogus.
What I always find slightly irritating about the way that The Guardian covers asylum issues and, you know, the very, very left wing covers this issue is they sort of say, oh, all these people suffer a lot and so they rightly should be over here. And I think, fair enough, that is absolutely right. But I can't help noticing that most asylum seekers who come over here, they don't represent a body of populace. They tend to be the younger male. And I do worry that a lot of the female elderly, for example, can't get in.
Well, that's more to do with the fact that they can't get out, I would have thought.
Well, yeah, there should be some sort of method for the transfer. It should be a bit like football transfers.
Oh, like a fee and an agent and... Well, there sort of is, really, isn't there? It's just the fee is how much it costs you to risk your life in the back of a lorry.
Yeah, that's quite a heavy fee.
I think
if David Beckham did that one going to LA Galaxy, he had to be stored in a crate. He might have gone.
But mine talks about the Thatcher government and how actually sort of 15, 20 years ago, it was much easier for the asylum seekers now, and it was a much more sort of civilised process. Rape victims weren't actually being turned away because they couldn't prove that the rape was part of a systematic campaign by the state. all sorts of things. Just really quite unsettling. But the fact that 20 years ago, under the auspices of Norman Tebbit and Lady Thatcher, the process was better is quite frightening.
Things are better under Tebbit.
Things were better under Tebbit, yeah, exactly.
Not the view upward. The view upward from under Tebbit would not be a pretty one.
Yeah, but then the view upward from under Gordon Brown and whoever is one of his secretaries this week is probably just as bad.
Yeah, especially if Gordon's wearing his kilt.
Quite, yeah. All right, so I think, to be fair, I think we've got quite a fight on with our cut out and keeps. Should we call it a draw?
Well, you can call it a draw. I call it you losing. Because, let's face it, cold hard science always beats opinion. And the rational universe is so much better than any politic you can think of.
All right, we're going to compare columns now. So I'm just going to grab my column.
I bet you will, Simon. Yeah, with some lube, yeah? With yeah. Both hands.
Well, I think my columnist probably will beat your columnist. Mine's Catherine Flett. And she's
Catherine
come up with
what?
Flett.
That sounds like a really, really dirty verb.
Yeah, to flet. I'm going to flet you all
Catherine
night.
Catherine Flett gently on his chest.
Well, she's come up with 20 sort of rebuttals to a book about 17 get-out-of-jail excuses for having an affair. She's come up with what she thinks are 20 hilarious rebuttals to it.
Right.
And she's got, in order to have a decent conversation, I'll have to have sex first. Apparently, the sexual tension with the person you're wanting to have sex with is too much to be able to have a conversation with. Then she's got the search for spiritual oneness. But her final one is the help, I'm a columnist on a national newspaper affair. She's done a little funny joke about how
she sounds like a wanker.
she sounds like a fletter.
Yeah, she does. She's a right flet.
So how can you beat that?
I can so out-dick your columnist. I have two. First of all, we've got Dylan Jones. He's basically written an article where the sole point is to imply that he's the one who made newly elected Mayor Boris Johnson a household name by giving him a motoring column in GQ. Now, I wasn't aware that Boris Johnson had a motoring column in GQ. I doubt even Boris Johnson was aware he had a motoring column in GQ.
Okay.
But I can outcock you even more because, of course, columnist of the year is in Live or Live supplement, and that is the wondrous Piers Morgan.
Oh, my God.
Now, if you don't know Piers Morgan, he's widely regarded as an utter cock.
Well, I'd say cock.
Every article he writes, he name drops like crazy, and it's usually about celebrities who call him a cock. So it's a column about a cock telling us about people who call him a cock.
Okay.
But this one is even more extreme because people aren't calling him a well, they are, but they're also trying to actually physically attack him.
Oh, nice. Who tried to kill him?
Robbie Coltrane. Basically, the entire article is about Piers Morgan was sat in a restaurant and Robbie Coltrane came into the restaurant and had to sit in a table near Piers Morgan and basically looked at him, muttered under his breath that he was a cunt. And Piers Morgan said, "What was that? Are you calling me a cunt?" And Robbie Coltrane go, yeah.
Well, to be fair, I think our column face-off is over with the mention of Hagrid beating up on Piers Morgan. Right, this is our pull-out section now. And in a week when scientists have discovered the part of the brain that controls sarcasm, I think it's time I admit that many facts about the world freak me out. And Izzy enjoys nothing more than freaking me out with various asinine facts about the world.
For example, Simon,
yeah.
Spiders have eyes.
Spiders do not have eyes. They don't. We've had this argument before. They do not have eyes. They have legs.
Spiders have they have both.
No.
Legs and eyes.
Next you'll be telling me like snails have tongues.
Octopuses
no.
have a different little brain for each leg.
Does each of those little brains have its own little bit of octopus sarcasm?
Possibly, yes. But octopuses, if you just put a pot, like a tiny little pot, down in the sea, an octopus, because it doesn't really have any like firm bony bits, it just loves crushing itself in stuff. So if you put a pot on the bottom of the ocean, an octopus will climb inside and just go, "I am really cramped. This is lovely."
Like my cat.
Yeah, because your cat, if you put pot
under the ocean, he will clamber into it. Yeah,
he will. Yeah, that's because you have a suicidal cat.
But going back to this bit of the brain that controls sarcasm, and actually going back to how we introduced the show, they've actually realised that the ability to understand sarcasm is actually a precursor and a tester of testing dementia. And so people who have these sort of stirrings of dementia and Alzheimer's will tend to not be able to interpret the notion of sarcasm.
Oh, really? Well, that's fascinating.
Well, quite. The brain freaks me out a bit. Like the fact
well, it's a bit weird, yeah.
Cognitively, we only have a memory for 3 seconds. And so any nerve-based feeling we have, 3 seconds later will be gone. So you can be hurt, and the minute the pain is gone, you will have, well, not the minute, 3 seconds after the pain is gone, you'll have no memory of it.
Well, you will have a memory of it, but that's the point.
A memory
is particularly inaccurate. They do studies showing how much of memory you make up yourself. And in fact, all your memories aren't actually really real. And you actually just fill in the blanks. If you stare at an object long enough without looking around in other places, you just stare at that object, because the chemicals in your eye won't renew at the right rate. Just like when you walk into a room, you won't be able to smell the difference after a while. You will stop seeing stuff.
So you're just trying to use science as an excuse to stand in the street staring at things.
Well, just outside Rickman's house, really.
Well, yeah. He doesn't really go for that. It's a science experiment.
It is a science experiment. What does bits of his
Although
body taste?
You running down the street going, "It's a science experiment," looking like Doc Brown, is a very funny Back to the Future reference.
I have the similar hair to Doc Brown, and also wrinkles.
Which you can peel off your own face.
Doc Brown was, in fact, a black woman. That's a scary science fact that scares Simon Dunn.
That's just a made-up lie.
It was not a made-up lie.
There's a difference between scary facts that freak me out and made-up lies. For instance, scary facts that freak me out, the fact that all the atoms in your body are completely different than 7 years ago.
Yep.
Although some of the cells in your body aren't. That freaks me out. Saying that Michael J. Fox had a third leg which he could bounce on doesn't freak me out. That's a lie.
Boing, boing, boing. You see, this is one which I do not understand, because I've heard it poo-pooed on some sceptical podcasts, like the Skeptics Guide to the Universe, but also gone into as fact that there are more humans alive now than there ever have been, which I don't think can be possibly be true.
Well, you told me that fact which freaked me out, the fact that the human race nearly died out.
There's something like, because of our mitochondrial DNA...
You just like to say mitochondrial.
I do. It makes me sound like I should wear glasses whilst I might put some glasses on. Hang on.
Yeah, put some glasses on as you deliver the word mitochondrial.
Okay, this is what glasses sound like.
Yeah.
They are on. Right. We all come from 900 breeding pairs of females. So that means at some point there's only 900 breeding females left on the planet at some point, which is quite...
Do they know when?
I think it was quite a while ago. It's something like 47. It was 1918. That's
there
when it was.
900 women left in 1918. Yeah. Well, that'd be the war.
And also the flu. The flu killed more than the war.
That is true. The flu did kill more than the war. Leaving only 900 people in 1918. That is true.
Yeah, exactly. And we all come from those 900 brave women who had a lot of babies each.
Between the two wars, thus causing the Great Depression.
Yes. But with all that shagging going on, you'd have thought, I suppose the Great Depression did kick in just as those children reached teenage years.
No, it's just after the shagging. That moment of post-coital depression.
Le petit mort.
Yeah, le petit mort. Is that the little death?
Yeah.
That's my life.
One day you will have a very little death, Simon.
All right, freebies now. And I think my freebies will blow your freebies off the planet.
Bet you don't. I bet you're just saying that. You're full of hot air, Solomon.
I am full of hot air, but I do like saying the word freebies.
Freebies. It does sound like somebody who can't count, doesn't it? So like 1, 2, freebie.
Well, my freebie is How to Save Money Shopping and Leisure 2. It's a 12-page pullout about how to save money. Really.
Well, reading that instead of going out to the shops.
Yeah. But you've got to spend £1.90 to get your free guide to saving money. So
there is a certain amount of irony.
But yeah, bad economics in that sense.
So I suppose you could save money by buying the Mail on Sunday, because that has a free film in it. So you wouldn't actually need to go out to your favourite film shop to buy yourself a DVD. Because this comes with the erotic thriller Half Moon Street. starring Michael Caine.
Michael Caine is not erotic.
Michael Caine is erotic. He was erotic in Get Carter, where there's a shot where he's holding a rifle completely naked and you're in between his thighs. And also in A Muppet's Christmas Carol. So...
how is he erotic in the children's classic Muppet's Christmas Carol?
Oh, well, you should see the way he was looking. You know, when he was Scrooge at the beginning, oh, he was very strict.
Very strict. Very powerful and strict.
I understand. Yeah.
Is Sigourney Weaver in that film?
Yeah, she plays Gonzo.
Right, now it's time for Article or Farcical. This is where Izzy will offer me some headlines from her paper, one of which she's made up, and it's my job to spot the article and the farcical.
That is correct. Hello, I've got some brilliant ones from the Mail on Sunday. It's a very right-wing paper, as I think we've mentioned. But so I'm going to go straight in. I'm not going to tell you any details about the articles themselves, because I think that might ruin it. But here we go. One of these I've made up, the rest are in the Mail on Sunday. Welfare baby killers.
Okay.
What do your bruises mean?
What, as in like tea leaf reading?
I'm not going to give you any details.
Right.
Right wingers really are nicer people.
That's got to be made up.
How to land a 747.
Oh, wow.
And my girlfriend is an illegal immigrant. And the full title of that is Help, My Girlfriend is an Illegal Immigrant.
Oh, my God.
So, welfare baby killers, article or farcical?
That's just nasty. That sounds like a slash movie that would be kind of almost pornographic for the Mail on Sunday readers. I'm going to say that's an article. I'm going to say bruises is an article. 747, that's just... See, I think you might be playing on my desire to be a pilot. So, 747 maybe. Illegal immigrants, that's got to be another bit of slash porn for the Sunday Mail readers. So, I'm torn between right-wingers and 747.
So how to land 747, is there an entire article guiding you through the steps of how to do that? Or is there
Yes, there is. I'm going to say yes, there is, and right-wingers is farcical.
Okay, so going through it, should we go from bottom to top? So my girlfriend is an illegal immigrant. That, of course, is an article.
Of course it is, yeah, obviously.
How to land a 747.
Go on. That's got to be true, and I want to borrow it if it is true.
It's an article.
Yes! Oh, yeah.
What do your bruises mean?
Yeah, I think that's some sort of tea leaf reading, palm reading.
It's not actually, it's in the health section. It's literally why you bruise.
And, oh, okay. So that's an article. Excellent.
Which leaves us with welfare baby killers or right wingers really are nicer people. And I, with all delight, tell you that right wingers really are nicer people is a genuine article.
Yeah. Oh, no, I lost.
Oh. You lost again. You're rubbish at this. I thought there's no way he's going to believe that welfare baby killers is a genuine article.
It is the Mail on Sunday.
I know it's the Mail on Sunday, but not even there that bad. Whereas right-wingers really are nicer people. It's just the most sweet, stupid article I've ever seen in my life.
And how are they nicer?
It's an article by Peter Schweitzer. And its liberals claim to be morally superior, but the latest studies reveal they're actually miserable, selfish, envious, and obsessed by money, and that right-wingers really are nicer people.
Well, because they're morons. They don't actually have any kind of imagination or the wit to realise how miserable their life actually could be.
No, they take genuine joy, like they've got a picture of Winston Churchill touching a child.
Okay, moving on to travel, I think I've got you beat with The Observer, because basically anything that the Mail on Sunday can vomit out is probably worthless. Not probably, is worthless.
You're just like a whining lefty calling me a fascist for no reason. You don't even know what fascism is.
Well, I have no response to that. My travel section this week has a guide to the hip hostels. Backpackers have never had it so good. Today's hostels, with their stylish interiors, gourmet food and free Wi-Fi, are a far cry from the chilly dorms and the shower queues of the past. So basically they're saying, be a backpacker, go to a lovely gourmet youth hostel. Now, I hate backpackers, I hate hippies, and I hate this travel section.
So basically you've lost the competition because you admit to hating. I've got loads of stuff in mind. I've got an article about going to Buenos Aires. I've got how to cruise the Rhine, which apparently is a river.
Cruise as in boating, not as in right.
It's not like I was thinking, oh yeah, cruise the Rhine, bow diggy. But no, it is actually just going on a boat in Germany. I've got the six things you must do in Bournemouth. Boom.
There are six things to do in Bournemouth.
There are six whole things to do in Bournemouth. I think that is obvious that it was two packs for a top five, but they could quite make 10.
So six, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, so six. So number one is get a bird's eye view of Britain's best beach. Two is cool beach huts and designer surfs too. Have a whale of a time, just like Jonah. Oh yeah, that's in the Oceanarium, which is just one of the best words
or places. So they're suggesting we go to Bournemouth and get eaten by a whale.
Ideally, and then when you're inside, make a grid so it can no longer eat any big fish. High art in the Clifftop Gallery. There's echoes of Paris in a print shop eatery, which is basically just eating among printers. I don't think that's a good thing. Or stay in Tolkien's lair. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, stay in Tolkien's lair, which is actually just a hotel that he might have visited once. But still, it's Tolkien's lair. Yeah.
Well, your supplement has played the Bournemouth card, therefore is automatically disqualified, and I win the travel section.
You are talking out of your own Bournemouth. Yours is a bore mouth, not a Bournemouth. Boring. Okay, you're just rubbish, Simon. Rubbish. And so is your paper.
Right, competition update now, and we've had a few entries already for our chance to win Hancock's half-hour DVDs. Do you want to take us through them, Izzy?
Dear Sunday Supplement, I don't like Hancock's half-hour. Dave.
Okay, honest.
I don't even know where Dave is from. When you do write in, you let us know where you're from. It's quite cool. We've got an American entry now.
Yay.
And it says, Dear Simon, no Izzy, which good. I'm a bit hurt at.
Well,
so
that's all right. That's about the first time that anyone's ever written to me. It's always to you when they write to us.
All right, then. I found the apostrophe down the back of my couch. I also found 48 cents and a set of keys I do not recognise. Are they yours, Amanda, Ohio?
Ohio.
Oh, Cleveland, Ohio. What?
Well, yeah, so 48 cents and a set of keys.
Yes.
So that's what, 4p and...
And an entire contents of a house.
It could be a house or it could be a jet ski. If it's a jet ski, they're my keys. I have actually lost the keys to my jet ski and my helicopter.
And we also got this from TescoDiets.com. Welcome. We've all been there. It's 11 a.m. and lunch seems like an eternity away. Suddenly that brownie seems irresistible. Snacking can be good for your diet, but we have to be careful on the type of food we snack on. Read on to hear about our top tips for surviving these pesky snack attacks. As a member, you'll get to avail of our weekly meal plans, expert advice from our nutritionists, and round-the-clock support from our fellow dieters. Start your free profile now.
Well, to be fair, I think that's head and shoulders above all the other entries so far, so... You got Tesco's diets to beat, listeners. Yep, so if you have an entry, send it to sundaypodcast@hotmail.com or leave a message on our wall at Facebook or even come and visit us at our new website, www.sundaysupplement.com.
But I think Dave's the winner so far, just simply because he doesn't like it, so therefore deserves to get it.
Oh, you think it was actually his entry to win something he hates?
Yeah.
Well, maybe if he told us what he was going to do with it once he got it, I might consider it as a valid entry.
Anyway, if you can find our missing apostrophe, you will win Hancock's half-hour box set. And to be fair, I think it is region 2. So if you're in America, you also need to buy a British DVD player.
Well, it's that time we've both been looking forward to. The property section, because we both are very interested in property.
And... Woo, yeah! I like houses, I like houses, I like owning them and buying them, I like houses.
I like bungalows.
Oh. I like tall buildings, little buildings, expensive buildings, buildings made of straw.
This is dull, isn't it?
What?
Buildings and property.
Yeah,
might as well
it
just
is.
Be talking about subprime mortgages and the credit crunch.
The Sunday Mail does try and hot it up by having a whole column called Hot House. Oh yeah, heard any Hot House gossip? If so, email eve@hothouse@mailonsunday.co.uk, because apparently Steve Coogan, right, he's going all the way to Ireland in Coogan's Run. Melinda Messenger's moving to Berkshire.
Well,
woo!
The Observer's trying too hard. In an article all about moving to Dubai, it has a sidebar called "What's Behind All the Bling?" Which, the minute any kind of Sunday supplement uses the phrase bling, you know you're onto a loser.
Is it the shiny? Is it the shiny behind the bling?
Well, no. It's actually the price of a hot climate and top salary includes poor employment law and intolerance of unmarried couples and Israelis. And then it just lists all the nasty negative things about living in Dubai.
I know lots of people who live in Dubai. There's my Uncle Ali, who lives in Dubai, and Johnny. We should go to Dubai. Dubai or not Dubai, a house.
I see what you've done there, because it's property. Anyway, I win.
No, you don't.
Okay, it's award time now. Time to decide who has the superior supplement. And it's obviously me. The Observer is in many ways superior to what isn't even a newspaper.
Well, you know, you're trying to use your asylum seekers as kryptonite to the superior Sunday Mail. And you know it's not kryptonite, it just aggravates it. So it becomes even more Sunday Mail in your face brilliance.
So what you're saying is that the brilliance of my paper makes your paper even more brilliant.
Yeah,
so
right-wingers
my paper
really
wins.
Are nicer people.
But I think an article spread across 7 pages of a major supplement voicing and giving voice to the asylum-seeking problem is you know, laudable, and I think it should win for that very reason.
It's preaching to the choir. I mean, it really is. I mean, how to land a 747? How do you land a 747?
I suspect you land it on an asylum seeker at the end of that article.
Well, one of them is jettisoning all asylum seekers before you take flight. But that's one of the things.
The notion of trying to land a 747, a situation you're never going to be in some
you
way being superior to inalienable human rights, is laughable. So, I think I win.
You did not. I got a free film.
You may well have got a free film, but it was Michael Caine in a rubbish film. I would rather have no film.
A film for like less than a few p.
But it's a film that cost a few p to make, that made only a few p at the box office, and it's probably rubbish.
It's not Moon Street starring Michael Caine and Sigourney Weaver. It's not rubbish.
Have you watched it?
I haven't watched it yet, but I will do.
Will you really watch it?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell you
I'm
what.
Bored.
We'll defer the decision until next week when you have watched that film.
All right.
Right. Okay.
Do I have to watch it?
Yes, you have to watch it now you've said it.
Awesome.
And we will be talking about it in the introduction next week. So there we go. That's Sunday Supplement. Well, no winner this week until a film has been watched. If you want to enter our competition or even just write to us and join in with your own supplements that you found during the week, please write to us at
sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. That's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. That's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. That's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com.
And as Izzy catches her breath, please also note that we've got a new website up, www.sundaysupplement.com, where you can sign up for our RSS feed and watch out for links for your iTunes store.
Yeah, because they can hit you right in the face.
They can hit you right in the face. So yeah, there is no winner this week. Shock horror. You should have bought probably The Independent.
No, probably The Daily Telegraph.
Yeah, one of those. None of the ones we did. See you next week. Bye. Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.